You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of D, Ali Muhammad.
What's up, everybody?
That's strange.
We are in the conversation. This is your boy, el alcalde, el capitán, el jefe, el general, el profesor, Vladimir Camaño.
That shit getting longer and longer every week.
And then it's going to get longer, baby.
You got to choose.
I give myself more titles every week, man.
You got to choose a title, man.
You got to pick one. It's hard, though, man.
You got to pick one, bro.
And we got with me.
And it's Ali Muhammad, man, and we are in the conversation. Welcome.
D Lemon is out because he's celebrating his grandmother's 90th birthday.
Word.
Which is, you know, you can't miss that.
Nah, once you get to 90, buddy, you got to catch every holiday, every birthday. It's the, you know.
What's the cutoff, Ali? Like what's the cutoff
here? That's the cut
on. After 70, do you got to go to every birthday? Is that the?
No, it's the cut on, not the cut off.
The cut on? You got to cut on?
If your grandma lived to 90, man, you got to, you know, cherish.
That's what I'm saying, though. With
like,
your grandparents.
You know what I'm saying?
What's the year where you can't go out anymore? Like, if grandmother turning 69, can you be like, hey, grandma, you know? Because 90, you can't not go.
You never know, because, man, I lost both of my grandmas, you know what I'm saying, relatively early. So
I'm sorry to bring that up, man.
But, you know, no, it's all good.
It got me feeling like I'm a jerk now.
No, it's all good, but, you know what I'm saying, if you are fortunate enough to let them hit, like, 80-something, you know, you got to celebrate.
Because I was talking to D about this, dog. You realize his grandmother was born 1925.
Mm-hmm. It was a good time in America for other people.
I know, right?
Shit was booming.
Booming for other people. 1925. I was D the other day. I said, like, think about that. She was born in 1925. It's bananas. But D's with his grandmother, rightfully so. He has his priorities straight.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? You can't hate him on that.
No doubt.
What's up, Ali?
Oh, man, shit.
What it do?
Oh, man, shit. You know. Coming straight out of Brooklyn.
Every Facebook profile has the little photo thing straight out of
somewhere.
What's the funniest one you've seen?
Straight out of Excuses, and then the other, you know, they had Meek Mill straight out of Bars.
Oh man, brutal.
There was a couple of them that was funny. Oh, my uncle posted one with this dude. It was this black dude with a white woman, and she was a jolly white woman, and it said straight out of Options, which was, I
hilarious.
Thought was foul. That was foul but funny at the same time.
There was one dude, he had like an EBT card, and he was like straight out of welfare or something like that. Cats have gotten so creative.
Well, I mean you knew it was gonna happen. It didn't last 10 minutes before they ran it in the ground.
It got too much.
But you know what I'm saying? That's what they want. You know what I mean? It's great for beats, great for the movie, which was dope, by the way.
I wish I could have seen the movie, man, but I don't have access like some people. You know, some people got VIP access.
You got
access.
Some people got VIP. You know what I'm saying? It's just pointing it in a different direction.
I'm referring to a certain person in the room who had VIP access.
Yeah, you know, I have VIP access.
You saw the movie, Ali?
Yeah, I saw the movie.
When'd you see it?
I saw it. When was that? Wednesday?
Tell me about it, man. Tell me about it.
It was dope. I mean, they did a great job capturing the time, the texture. I mean, with, you know, given the amount of time they have in a movie, like, you know, the movie was already 2.5 hours long or something like that.
Right.
But so they got a lot of things in there that, you know, they could, you know what I mean, without straying too far from the story. So that group had so much stuff going on that, you know, it kept it interesting, kept it popping. It started off dope, you know what I mean? They kicked it off with a bang. So, you know, I ain't going to be, you know, the spoiler dude, but go check that shit out. So, like I said, man, it just covered so much ground and gave you a lot of that time, a lot of that context. And overall, it was, you know, two thumbs up for me.
The acting was good. They brought the characters
man,
to life.
Man, that was the crazy part is that, you know, when you're from that era, you kind of know the characters. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like you watching a film from history where you don't know, and then it's just like, you know, here's Kunta Kinte.
This is what Lincoln sounded like.
Right, you know what I'm saying? That Kunta Kinte probably didn't look nothing like that. But, you know, you knew the character, so they had a heavy job to pull that off, and 90% of the actors pulled it off. You know what I'm saying?
What's with 10%?
So Easy, the dude who played Easy, even though he didn't look like Easy, he pulled it off. You know what I'm saying? He had the, you know, he had the whole West Coast mannerisms, the sly humor, you know what I'm saying? As well as you had to hold it up as being, you know, like a little bitty gangster. You know what I'm saying? So he pulled that off. The dude who played Dre, he looked like Dre. He pulled it off. You know what I'm saying? Even he might not have been as tall as Dre, but he pulled it off. You couldn't, you know what I mean? He became Dre. And then, you know, at the screening, you know, they had the guys up there afterwards, you know what I'm saying? And he was just talking about how hard, like, he's a classically trained actor.
Oh, man, yeah.
Like, he was on Broadway doing Shakespeare when he got the call to do Dre.
Can you do
you know what I'm saying? So you're like a Juilliard school, you know what I mean? Graduate, you know what I mean? So he pulled it off. He did his thing. Cube's son, of course, was Cube.
You can't really contest that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he did Cube all the way. Who else? You know, nobody really knew Ren, but Yella, and, you know what I mean? So Yella, you know, he could win either way, but he played a compelling character. Ren had the voice. He didn't really look like Ren, but he had the voice. Only mug that really threw it off was Suge. You know what I'm saying?
Why? What happened? He didn't look the part. He didn't.
I mean, to me, you know, not to spoil it for nobody, but just, you know, if you want to go see it and you don't want any spoilers, turn it off now.
Or just fast forward a little bit.
Yeah, fast forward. You know what I mean? Go to the next step. But the guy who played Suge, he looked like, you know, Key from Key and Peele.
No.
He looked like Key paying Suge Knight in a fat suit. But he didn't have a fat suit. He was a big dude. But it looked, his face, he has like that. You know how Key had those funny eyes that are funny? Suge Knight had the funny eyes. And it was like, you know, he doesn't look really, you know, intimidating. He didn't bring what Suge brought. He played the role, but, you know, just looking at him kind of
the gravitas.
Yeah, he kind of threw it off a little bit.
Suge has a certain presence when he walks into a room.
Right, and I don't think that guy really brought that off. And that may have been on purpose, you know what I'm saying? Historically, you know, realign who Suge is, like make him a clown kind of.
How are the scenes when they perform at the performance scenes, did it bring you back? Were you like,
oh man,
you're
in that, I'm singing the songs, you know what I'm saying? Like, straight out of Compton, crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. You know, you in it. I'm in the theater singing the damn record, you know what I mean? Charged up.
I'm excited to see it, man.
Yeah. It's, I mean, if you were there or if you knew the group or if you knew anything about it, even if you didn't, you know what I'm saying? Just, it's you know, it's great. It's a great, you know, piece, you know what I mean? To have in the hip hop, you know, lexicon. I'm
trying to think of all the. Are there any other films that came out in that vein of like hip hop?
Notorious,
right?
I don't think Notorious was of the same historical caliber. It didn't have the same caliber of things. You know what I'm saying? It didn't have the right mix of things going on. And you know, and with Biggie is different because it was a little more difficult because his run wasn't that long. You know what I'm saying? They really encapsulated it all. It's a few years where you really knew him, where he blew up and he did his thing and then he was gone. So, you know what I'm saying? He had two albums and, you know, they didn't have as much material. You know what I mean? Like, and a lot of the material that they had to go on was stuff you kind of heard about, but, you know, didn't really, really know. And it was like, you know, you had to follow the movie. So now they're trying to make those things as well as keep you entertained. So it was kind of like, you know,
yeah.
They missed the mark a little bit. The Lil' Kim character did a thing in that movie, though.
I got to rewatch. It's been a long time. But I'm trying to get other films. You got Straight Outta Compton now. Mm-hmm. You got the Biggie movie.
I mean, in hip-hop?
There's been hip-hop theme movies, but, you know,
I think, you know, Crush Groove.
Crush Groove.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was dope for the time, you know what I mean? It was.
You remember the Fat Boys? Remember the Fat Boys?
What you mean, do I remember the Fat Boys?
They had a movie. Remember that movie? They had about 2-3 movies out, I think.
Not about them.
But they were like, you know.
They were acting. Yeah.
And it's what made me laugh is like they were casted as the Fat Boys in the movie. Right. Like, these are the Fat Boys.
Yeah. Who else are they going to be? the three Fat Boys from the Fat Boy group.
Oh, man.
But this joint, you know, and then and what they also did, they brought in like, you know what I'm saying? It was characters that you kind of heard about, like, you know what I mean? Like, through their rapping and stuff. You know what I'm saying? You kind of, they kind of brought those people to life. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lonzo. Lonzo, like, from the World Class Wrecking Crew, and Dre got his start. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really know he owned the club where Dre worked. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that was interesting to see that dynamic and how he went from World Class Wrecking Crew and why he was doing what he was doing in the World Class Wrecking Crew. And, you know, so it was dope. And then, so we watched it at a screening. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of rappers and stuff in there. So the next day, we were shooting Bun B and Fab. And we shot them separately, but, you know what I'm saying? When Bun B came in the morning, you know, the conversation was about that movie. You know what I'm saying? And how you know what I'm saying, how it really was. You know what I'm saying? I don't really get to have those discussions like with a rapper who was rapping or who was inspired by.
It's a different experience, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like me and you and Dave, we kick it. You know, we talk. You know what I'm saying? So I don't talk to Bun B or, you know,
Fabulous.
Fab or the rappers about the shit. And then having also interviewed Q, you know
prior
what I'm saying, a
that.
Couple of days before, it was just an interesting dynamic to hear it from another rapper who watched it as a roster rap movie. And you know, it was interesting because Bun B, he's from Houston, you know, the Houston area. So there's a scene in it that was in Houston that, you know, he could really relate to. And he was like, yo, I had my wedding reception at that same hotel, you know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying, the people that was in it, you know what I'm saying, they were trying to, him and his wife, he was saying, was trying to decipher whether or not, you know what I'm saying, they knew who that person was. And he was like, when that movie come out in Houston, people gonna be able to boil that down to exactly who that was. So that was interesting. Crazy. Yeah, he was able to, you know what I'm saying, it was parts in there that, you know, that hit home with each of them. Then we talked with Fab, and, you know, everybody gave it a unanimous thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? It was inspiring to you know, to us, but then to see it as that inspire other rappers as well. That was funny.
Now, let me ask you this, Ali. I'm asking this because you're a filmmaker yourself. You also do that kind of work. How does it stand? If you're not from the culture, how does the movie stand as a film?
The movie had great texture, but they couldn't lose. You know what I'm saying? Because F. Gary Gray was directing. Who directed, you know, early NWA stuff back in the, or Dre stuff and Cube stuff back in the day, they music videos. So he know them from all the way back. He directed Friday, you know what I'm saying? So he knows.
He's intimate with
them. Yeah, he knows the culture. He knows the texture, you know what I'm saying? You know, then you got Cube that's producing, and then Dre is producing hands-on. You got Eazy-E's wife that's hands-on, you know what I'm saying? You know, then you got Will Packer, who's executive producing, who's, you know, is from that era. You know what I mean? So it's hard to lose when you're able to, you know, take the people that were from the culture, put them in the lab. You got experienced filmmakers and screen script writers with Cube and F. Gary Gray, and then Dre, who's a cinematic dude as all the way across the board. I mean, it was hard to lose if they were involved. You know what I'm saying? As far as texture concerned. And, you know, they gave it to you. You know, they gave you real stuff. You know what I'm saying? The real texture that was existing. You know, if you listen to the Chronic album, the first one, and then you heard all of the Rodney King stuff interweaved into the skits and the transition. You know what I'm saying? So when you get to that part in the movie, you could see, you know, that they were, you know, taking time to let you see what the context was. They didn't go into much of the Chronic album, but they went into the Rodney King context.
I think the challenge is, and you know, with a film like this, is like it's seductive to show all the little, you know, the spicy stuff, but to tell a story. So I'm hoping, I'm gonna watch it, you know, the 14th when it drops. You know, not all of us had the VIP, you know, access. So I gotta see with the regular folk. But I'm hoping that it's like they shot it as a great film. You know what I'm saying? Like that you can be outside the culture and still enjoy.
I don't know. I'm not from outside the culture. Yeah. But I enjoyed it. And, you know, maybe somebody from the outside can, but I can't see it through their eyes. So I don't know. It was good to me.
I'm gonna check it out, man. I'm excited to see it.
You know what I'm saying? So since that, I've been listening to old NWA and Eazy-E all week. Then the Dre album drop.
I gotta listen to it, man. I haven't yet. What
the Dread, that was something that you wanted.
I know. I heard Deep Waters. I heard Deep Waters. Uh-huh. I enjoyed that. I think that one had Kendrick in it.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I'm still going through it. What was your first impression?
That is sonically superior to anything in rap right now, and probably probably any other genre. As far as the sound quality, the engineering of it, the technical. Man, we drove to Philly this weekend to shoot, right? And so on Canal Street, put on the Compton album, look up, and then you got a Apple Music billboard. Then you look down the block, you got Big Ass Straight Out of Compton billboard. So it was like, damn, that's the takeover. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, Bozeman St. James and the marketing crew over there.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But so we put on the Compton joint, and it's just crazy how the sound just fills up the whole car. And then you hear Eminem rapping and it's in surround sound because, you know, they going back and forth between speakers with all the words. I'm like, man, this shit is crazy. So sonically is crazy, but it lets you know how the sonics matter, because there's songs on there that I wouldn't even listen to other than to hear how great it sounded in the system, because, you know, it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't have typically liked that beat. But once it's engineered and done right and the sounds are so separated like this and that, and the drums are kicking so hard and so round, you know, you had to listen. You got to pay some attention. And then you get some nuggets that you probably would have skipped if you was listening to it on a computer. You know what I'm saying? But my thing about the whole album is that, you know, it's called Compton, but a lot of the style that they're using is like a Southern style on that album.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? It's a very, like, the cadence and all that. Every song, when the whole shit kicked off, you know what I'm saying? And the dude come on, I don't give a fuck. Doo, doo, doo. That's like the first song, right? I was like, that's Trick Daddy. But it wasn't Trick Daddy.
But it wasn't Trick Daddy.
The whole album, a lot of the cadences they use, I could have interchanged them with Trick Daddy. And probably would have enjoyed that shit a lot more.
Was that an immediate thing for you? You picked it up immediately?
Or I mean, the first, when he came on, like he said, I think he's, I don't give a fuck, ding, 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 something like that. But it's just like Trick Daddy, y'all want to motherfucking die? Come see, who, me. You know what I'm saying? It was like, damn, that's Trick. They should have just put Trick on the album, man. And then, you know, between Dre, Kendrick, and I think even Eminem says something about being from the bottom. You know what I'm saying? Starting from the bottom. And Miami is the bottom.
Miami literally is the
bottom. That's what they call Miami. That's the bottom. So I was like, man, listen to this. They should have just gone ahead and put Trick on the record, man, and let it.
What's up with Trick? Has Trick put anything out lately? Or
You know, Trick got the lupus.
Oh, man.
So he's been, I guess, active. I think last time we heard him, me and D talked about this earlier, he had to eat the Booty Gang, so, you know, that didn't fly.
What's eat the Booty Gang?
Dudes who I guess it was cool to eat a girl's booty.
He was involved in that gang?
That was what he was calling his new group or whatever.
Eat the Booty Gang?
Eat the Booty Gang. What did you think about that?
Well, we can talk. I mean, you know, I'm very
germophobic.
Germophobic. I'm kind of a hypochondriac. So there's a song now.
No, fecal matter on your tongue?
Just even the word fecal, just saying it, that this has a hard K sound.
So you wouldn't be in the Eat the Booty Gang?
Nah, I'm not knowing Eat the Booty Gang. Even if it was a lunch special, I'm not eating the Booty Gang. I don't care if they paired it up with other pairings, like, oh, you get a whole, you know, entree, appetizer if you eat the booty. I'm not
eating
the
booty and the cooch?
No, man. No, dog. I mean, that's a lot of... Like, it's like, to me, that's like going to war, and you got to really explain to me why we're going to battle.
Mm.
Like, why are we fighting? What's at stake here? Are the aliens going to take over the planet if we don't go kill them?
Nah, just another dude going to eat the Cooch Gang, your girl. Then what?
So you're saying to me, I'm very happy to talk about this. You're saying to me, right now I'm in negotiations with my, you're saying I'm with my girl, we have negotiations, and she goes, listen, if you don't eat this, if you don't eat this, a noose, someone else is gonna dine on this. Is that what you're saying?
Nah, I was just joking, man.
Oh. Because, you know, there's a song out now with Chris Brown, right?
Uh-huh.
I think on Marion. And one of the lyrics is, and I put up Facebook update, one of the lyrics is, and I'm liking the beat. I'm in the beat, Ali.
Y'all in.
I'm in that beat. I was driving with a friend. I'm in the passenger side, so I have no responsibility. He knows where he's going. No navigation needed. I just, you know what? Let me just enjoy the music. It was a nice night. You could see the skyline of New York, which is beautiful along the FDR. And then all of a sudden, I hear a lyric that says, eat the booty like groceries. Fucked up my ride.
You just couldn't take it. What? You lost your lunch.
When did this become a cultural phenomenon to eat the booty? And when it become accepted and celebrated?
I mean, people been eating the booty for a long time.
Oh, God, come on, man.
I mean, this ain't new. I mean, it's new to the rap lyric.
Right. But, they've been just they've been
but booty's been getting eaten for a minute. I mean, shit, my man even was tossing salad. That was a big thing when the man
Chris
was
Rock,
talking about tossing
Chris Rock,
salad.
Chris Rock
was tossing salad. He was talking about a man tossing his salad, but that was a big part of the conversation. Even girls was talking about toss the salad.
When was this?
When was that? That was when Chris Rock had this. When was that? That was a long time ago.
Straight out of Tossing Salad.
That was like early aughts.
Well, this is Chris Rock. I think it's Bring the Pain. Chris Rock, Bring the Pain. Chris Rock had a whole joke. He was like, toss that salad. I forget which special it was.
Toss the salad special.
Yeah. But, you know, I think my daddy was kind of always taught me, you know,
we don't know. Shit.
Well, now when I was coming up, you know, STDs get a lot of publicity.
No doubt.
So my father was real particular about, listen, take care of yourself, be clean out there. And now you got Legionnaire's disease in the Bronx.
What's that?
Legionnaire's, like, it's a disease out there. It's airborne. Apparently it's in water. It's not as rampant as I think the media would have you say it is. But apparently it's a version of pneumonia. It infects your lungs, you get fever. There have been several deaths from it. It's a serious thing.
It's happening in the Bronx.
I think predominantly in the Bronx, in the South Bronx.
Damn.
That's why certain cab drivers, they won't go there, you know, on certain nights because they don't want to catch.
The Legionnaires. It's like the Ebola?
Nah, nowhere near as fatal as that. Nowhere near as fatal as that.
But how Ebola came and then it went.
Yeah, Ebola came and went. This one is basically, if your septic tanks aren't clean, it grows in water. And then it goes airborne. So, you know, if your septic tanks aren't clean. Now, listen, I don't work for the Environmental Protection Agency. So I'm only giving you things that I've skimmed in my musings.
On the internet.
But I got to tell you, man, I got friends that will eat the booty, though. And that's like their claim to fame.
Really?
Like, they brag about it. Like, listen, man, I got a friend of mine. It's a true story. I'm not even lying about this. This dude, I'm not being vulgar. I'm not exaggerating here. I went out with this dude. We went over to, we were at Dallas BBQ. And they bring out a bowl of broccoli. And he's like, ugh. He says, ugh, to the broccoli. But this dude brags about eating the booty.
Straight out of anus. Crazy motherfucking.
So you won't eat broccoli, but you'll tear anus up. But then when I bring this up, you look at me like I'm a weirdo.
Priorities, man.
I don't
broccoli,
know, man.
Broccoli don't give back.
Hilarious. Did you hear that, Chris? Broccoli does not give back.
Immediately. Immediate results, you know what I'm saying? You know.
Well, broccoli, I mean, hey, listen, I don't know, Ali. What do you tell? I mean, I hate to ask what
my sexual musings.
Yeah, I hate to. What's your stance on eating the booty? I mean, if you could just.
I'm not gonna eat no booty. Okay.
Okay. There we go.
I mean, I'm not with the
eat the
anal
booty gang.
Play.
You
know, I'm not
gang.
An anal play type of. Yeah. You know what I mean, that's too functified.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you clean it up and all that, but still, that's what's the they got a video out with who's in that damn video, and It's a girl and she rapping about booties. Who's in the fucking video? I think Amber Rose is in the video as well. And then it's like, you know what I'm saying? Is this what you think is exciting? My poop factory or some shit like that?
Oh, yeah. It's Amy Schumer's Milk Milk Lemonade. So.
Oh, yeah.
What is it, Chris? What is it?
Amy Schumer did a music video for her show called Milk Milk Lemonade.
Right.
And Amber Rose is in it. Redman's in it. Oh, no, Method Man.
Yeah. And she's talking about her poop factory. Is that what you guys all excited? My poop factory. Hey, you know, you don't want to be messing around in the poop factory. Just me, myself, personally.
I don't mess around in the poop factory. No. I don't want no guest passes. I don't want no tours. I don't even want a job at the poop factory. Anyway, just my point. I have a lot of friends that will go down in that direction. They brag about it.
Yeah, man, you know, I guess the results. You know,
speak for themselves.
Yeah, you know, so you got to find out how to be special in other places.
Yeah, you know, a nice compliment,
You know what I mean? Ain't gonna work once you down to the deed.
Ah, you look great. You know, that's the thing that's better than the eating the booty. Hey, you look fantastic, you know?
That'll work in the daytime. On the street, at dinner.
But anyway, I just heard that song and I was like, this is music. You know, it's a great beat, but I'm like, back in the day, you know, I mean, I hate it's a cliche theme, but like back in the day, they sang about love. Now you're talking about eat the booty.
They sang
groceries.
About a lot of things, man, back in the day. We like to romanticize back in the day, but
name a song as vulgar as eat the booty like
groceries. It don't necessarily say, I'm going to eat your ass, bitch, like how they'll say now.
Right.
But they had a lot of sexual innuendo, shit. You know, you got the I'm the cleanup woman. You know what I'm saying? Aretha Franklin had a lot of nasty little songs.
Aretha, really?
Yeah, Aretha was about that life.
Freak?
Yeah, like, go listen
Aretha
to
that. Was a freak?
Go back and listen to that. What you think R-E-S-P-E-T-E-C-T is about?
I thought it was about dignity.
Nah, it's about you got to come and lay it down.
That's what it was
show
about?
Show me some respect. Lay this shit down.
Pipe? Lay some pipe?
Lay some pipe.
No,
don't come around here fucking
late.
Playing.
Be for real?
Go listen to it.
Oh, man. I used to jam to that song.
Yeah, no doubt.
12 years old. No,
they,
it's they about laying
to,
pipe?
They know how to hide it. She was talking about laying that pipe, Blair.
That was approved music in my house.
No doubt.
Come on, man.
Because they knew it flew over your head. You ain't know no better.
I think the most vulgar song I heard back in the day growing up, obviously outside of hip-hop, was remember that song, I Be Stroking.
Yeah, Clarence Thomas. I be stroking like my man, who I was telling you about, who started in the Casablanca right in Bed-Stuy, Marvin Cease. I be a candy licker, you know what I'm saying?
I be your candy licker.
Yo, Ali's impressions are dead on, dog. When you go into like an act out of somebody, it's dead on, dog.
Yo, I mean, they was talking about it. If you listen to funk music, I mean...
Well, hence the word funk, right?
Funk was about that life, you know what I mean? And I didn't know it as a kid. It was like one of my favorite songs. I didn't even know they were saying thighs high. But that's, you know what I'm saying? It sounded like they're saying sky high.
They were saying thighs high.
They were saying thighs high, you know what I'm saying? Then the breakdown, doom, 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 I want to grip them hips and move. That's my joint. You know what I'm saying? I thought, back in the day, I didn't know what they were talking about. You know, 11, 12 years old, but that was the joint.
Thighs be high.
I want it. Thighs high. Dre mentioned it on the album. He said something, I'm still got them thighs high. You know what I'm saying? Because West Coast was big on the funk. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's
And you mean in terms of the way the music was produced?
No, the funk music
came out
was big on the West Coast. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it came out because a lot of Midwest, a lot of the funk groups came out of Midwest, West Coast, you know what I'm saying? That was just big on in the West. You know what I'm saying? Big, like a lot of them came out of like Cleveland, like Zap and all them. That was Cleveland, but the music was big on the West Coast. Like you, more bounce to the ounce. That's like synonymous with West Coast. You know what I'm saying?
More bounce to the ounce.
More bounce to the ounce. That's Zap, Roger. You know what I'm saying?
Ali, your memory is insane, dog.
Roger like Troutman, man.
But not only do you recall stuff, but you actually bring it back to life.
Well, some stuff is, I know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
some stuff, you know, some stuff you learn, some stuff you see, some stuff, you know, you heard about in a book, but some stuff you just know because you was there and you was influenced by it, you know what I mean? So I ain't really like radio music. I didn't really like, you know what I'm saying? I know it's sad to say. I didn't really listen to Michael Jackson and the stuff they played on the radio. But I was really, you know, the funk and go-go and all that underground electronic music. That struck a chord, you know what I'm saying? We talked about this before. So I know that stuff.
It's American music is such a unique thing for me, particularly like that Motown and that R&B era, because my parents, as you know, they English is their second language.
Mm-hmm.
And as limited as it is, my mother loves Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
She know what he was talking about, but I just called to say I love you.
Right,
that was a jam. She'd watch the video in the house when it come on TV.
Right, but you know, saying music is universal. Music is a universal language. You know what I'm saying? We, you know, it's songs that we don't know what they talking about, but it's jam. You know what I mean?
That beat be seductive.
Yeah, the beat, you know, the drums, music. You know, sometimes it's the voice. You know, your mama might was just being seduced by Stevie's voice.
Love Stevie, the one dog.
You know what I'm saying, you come home and find Stevie. Eat the booty. I just called to say I want to eat the booty.
Talk about a remix. Talk about a remix. Stevie Wonder eating the booty.
Not just any booty.
And you could, and you don't need eyes to find the booty.
Nah.
You don't need vision to find that.
No, sir.
Speaking of music, Ali, this is app out now. It's called Auto Rap. I don't know if you heard of it.
Mm-mm.
But it's been getting a little heat, and basically you talk to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it generates a rap song for you based on what you spoke into it.
And you into that?
I'm not into that. I you know what?
You walk around and talking to your Siri. Hey, Siri, check this out, right? You know what I'm saying? We're going to bust this rap, you know what I mean? We talk about this, talk about that. Play it back for me, baby.
I did not understand what you said.
And Siri be like, we need to eat the booty. God damn it!
Did you ever? Did you ever rap? Did you ever spit some stuff?
I used to rap.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. Yeah.
What was your rap name?
True Pockets.
When what's the history behind the name?
True Pockets. Be real about what you do, get paid for it too. That's what I came up with.
Be real about what you do, get paid for it too. You should run a finance company with that. You know that's like True Pockets investments.
You just stay real. That was my philosophy on life. You like people think about what job they're gonna do. You know what I'm saying? What they're gonna be when they grow. I just knew if you do anything well, somebody will pay you to do it. That was my philosophy. And, you know, if you did what was true to you, what was endemic to you, your best talent, somebody will pay you to do it, and you can make a living that way. That's what I stuck to.
How old were you when you made that theory?
I was about 19 when I made that.
I like that. Do you still use True Pockets? That's a great. Or was that a Miami thing?
No, it was just, you know. That was just that era of life. I am not rapping no more.
When did you get out the rap game? When you were like,
when did I get out?
Were you like, you know what? I'm done. I'm too real.
No. Life got too real. Life got too real for that shit. But I mean, really, it was like I guess 99, and shit, man. I was making beats for drug dealing record labels, and I was had my own little label, and so. That's when I discovered the fiscal year. So fourth quarter, you know what I'm saying? We making these beats, you know what I'm saying? It was like September, got them done, got paid. So I had a nice little check to ride out through the end of the year. But then, you know, we were supposed to pick back up on this one project with the drug dealing record label. And, you know, come Thanksgiving, they like, yo, you know what I'm saying? We about to go out of town, you know what I'm saying? Get this money up so, you know, get this Christmas thing together. All right, bet. You know what I'm saying? We'll be back.
Holiday season.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't know holidays was that important. And then it was like, boom. So they go, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they, you know, they getting the cars painted, you know what I'm saying? Setting up to get the new car they going to get, getting all the gifts they going to get for everybody. Then Christmas come. Y'all ready to work? Well, shit, you know, we got to go back out of town, get our money back up. We done spent that. So, shit. So now they gone again. The project don't never kick back in until, you know what I'm saying, February or some shit. That's when you ain't made no money since October. So you got drugged. That's that fourth quarter drag. And then I've learned, once I learned that lesson, that stuck with me the rest of my life. Like, you got to be prepared for that holiday drag, because even corporate people will drag your ass in the fourth quarter, call somebody for your check. Thanksgiving.
Press one.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to get that voicemail. Then after Thanksgiving, they're going to be catching up from where they, you know what I'm saying, drug their feet before Thanksgiving. And then that's only 2 weeks before a lot of people go out for Christmas vacation. Then you scarred. Then you ain't going to get your money till February.
So you left the rap game.
So basically, that led up to me, you know what I'm saying, it was shit got tight, you know what I'm saying, from that fourth quarter. So it was like, damn, what the fuck am I going to do? So I'm working on this particular project, my own project. And I say, I'm like, you know, 200 beats in. And I came into the studio, you know what I'm saying, to load up my shit. And nothing loaded up. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm doing it back and forth, turning shit off and on. And it was like God showing you something, you know what I'm saying? Listen, so I sat down on the couch like, yo, what the fuck? And then it was a cat. This was my uncle's studio, and then he had a little cat. And the cat came in. The cat used to like to lay on top of the keyboards because it was warm. So the cat came in, jumped, landed on the keyboard, and then you could hear the drive start going. And then I jumped up to see what that was. When the cat lands on the keyboard, the first button that he hits, the first option on the menu is disk. And then the first one is format.
So then, gonna delete everything.
So when he lands with his foot, he hits the disk button. And then when he sits down, he selects format. And he did it once before, and then did it right in front of my motherfucking face. Which, to me, that, like, you know, that threw away, you know what I'm saying, about 2 years worth of work.
Gone.
And then I was just like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Fuck it all. I had long ass braids and shit. I cut them off. I went right into the bathroom and just cut all my braids off, and then I moved to New York.
Oh, this was like a life changing moment.
This changed everything. Cut all my shit off, moved to New York.
Have you owned the cat since?
I never owned a cat.
Okay. It was your uncle's cat, right?
It was my uncle's cat. But you know what I'm saying? It was something that was telling you that, hey, it's time. And then, you know, it wasn't like some super big dream. It was just one step in what I wanted to do. But it showed you at that time that, you know, it was time to change.
What was your rap style like? Were you like,
I was talking about getting money. I was talking about getting money. Like one of my songs, Get Some, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, nigga want this, nigga want that, nigga reaching to his pocket, nigga ain't got shit. Coming up is the number one topic, quote of the year, let a nigga get a bet. Fuck that shit, I'm about to get rich, poverty's not me. I got to see currency, you know what I'm saying? That's, you want some, got to get some. You don't get none, won't be none. Because ain't no one giving up none. Want some, got to get some. We'll post that.
That was kind of... he got bars. I had
old bars. My son be laughing at me.
Oh, you spit around your son?
Nah, I played them. You know what I'm saying? I played some.
Oh,
shit.
You still got some archives?
Yeah, I got archives.
I thought the cat deleted everything.
I'm saying this was stuff that I recorded before.
Oh,
that.
Okay.
He deleted all the beats for the new shit.
What's your son be saying when you put on some of the?
Oh, they laugh.
Some of the legendary bars.
They laugh at me. You know what I'm saying? They laugh at me. So, but it's all good. It's all good. It was a guide for me. It was a guy. My favorite song is Shine On. I had a song called Shine On. That was dope. That was dope.
Did you produce your own beats too at the time? Or?
Yeah, that was my thing. I was probably a better beat maker than a rapper, but, you know, when you make the beats, you can do what you want.
Ali, man, it's so crazy to hear. I guess, you know what? You got that. I can see you as a rapper, though.
So, yeah, so that was cool.
I had a brief period in college where I rapped.
Yeah, I didn't even think you listened to rap music. In college.
Yeah, it was like maybe junior year. There was like a rap battle thing going on, and I decided to prepare myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cats were like the different. I'm serious. So like, what happened is like a battle went off. Like one dude put a rap out about one of the it was like there was some cats living in Malcolm X's house,
mm-hmm.
and he put some heat out about this dude living at Nicholas, one of the other dorms. And then he put something out, but he mentioned another student, and then his students kept getting mentioned in these disses, and I was like, I got to get ready.
Right.
So I could put pen to paper, and I put a little, just in case, you know, a little ammo. It was almost like it was the apocalypse was coming. I was like, let me get these canned goods together in case I need to eat.
You had bars on deck.
Had bars on deck, and I had some little, I remember
you
why.
You should have taught Meek Mill that lesson.
Oh, man. He still didn't put nothing out yet, right?
Since that sorryness.
There was some video of Nicki Minaj groping him.
I don't know. I don't even think about that right now.
Oh, okay.
So what happened with your battle?
It never came to fruition. One dude ended up like, put like this in me.
Uh-huh.
And then I think he apologized after that because it was a good school. You know, we were there for education.
No doubt.
So he was like, listen, I really apologize. I think they were like, listen, it's wiped from the record.
It was good fun.
It was good fun. Really apologize.
Like ASO soccer where nobody really wins.
If I remember,
they don't
take
score.
I mean, obviously, we're all insecure in different places. If I remember correct, Ali, I was very into the velour suit.
No doubt.
And I had two velour suits. I had a Sean John smoke gray velour suit, which
was dope.
Three sizes oversized.
Mm-hmm.
Ali, I looked like I was wearing a laundry bag.
No doubt. Everybody did.
Man, I was looking horrible. And I was thin, you know, and I remember, see, he talked about that. He dissed me on that. And then I also had a blue Aniche one.
Mm-hmm.
You was on
right on time with that?
When I look back on it, though, man, I looked awful. I know I looked awful. I know I did. I thought I was killing him.
Everybody was killing him with a big trash bag outfit on.
It was awful, bro.
I had a battle. Not a battle, but it was like a radio battle.
Who was it against?
Where? I'm going to break it down.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
It was like a radio station. It was like a little small AM radio station in Tallahassee when I was in FAMU.
Well, this is real, like underground, local battle.
I mean, yeah, it was like a send in your song and we'll play it on the radio battle. Like, So I had this song called I Love Women, which was my joint at the time. Everybody loved that.
That was
shit.
Your single?
That was my single. That was, it was popping. And and you know, I sent I Love Women in, and you know, the battle went on, and Common, the rapper Common, he ended up winning this contest or whatever.
You rapped against Common?
Well, I didn't rap against him. I had my song.
You were in the same
that.
Tournament with
yeah,
Common.
In the same tournament. So Common ended up winning. And and I got disqualified because my song...
Too hot?
Nah, because my song, I had a line in the song where it said something how good I was to the clip. It wasn't a cuss word, so it wasn't like, I didn't think it should be disqualified, but he was like, you can't say that on the radio. Like, after my song went off, after that part came on, they cut my song off, and DJ got on. Man, you can't play that on the radio. Why would you sitting that up here? I'm like, man, clit ain't no cuss word, man. That's good shit.
It's called click?
Clit.
Oh, clit.
I was saying how good I was to the clit.
Because you love women.
I Love Women was the song.
And you picked the right spot, the clit.
Yeah, I mean, the song was an ode to women. Like, I talked about a lot of things. Yeah. He just picked out that one little line.
You saw it as poetry.
It was definitely poetry. It was art.
Well, that's not fair because that's what it's actually called. That's a body part.
Exactly. See, it should have been a white
station.
Chris,
you bring up a good point because anatomically in the science classes, it's called the clitoris, right?
Yeah. That's
exactly.
So clit is short for clitoris.
Of course.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But he was, you can't stay there on the radio.
You need to do voiceover work, Ali. I'm telling you, dog. You need to begin on voiceover because you've done like 8 voices just today. Hasn't he, Chris? He's done about 8 different voices today.
Oh, man. So, you know what I'm saying? We got over it.
Oh, so you didn't even get to compete?
Nah, they disqualified me because my song was vulgar, but it wasn't. It was right now. It'd be a sweet love song.
I got a question for you though. So was it a rap contest or was it just kind of submit your
song? No, it was submit your song. Then they play it on
and
the radio. They vote.
Yeah, okay.
You see who had the best joint.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like a battle head to head battle.
You can't battle with I Love Women.
Nah, that wasn't like a battle. But I Love Women was my best record. That was my best shot at that time.
I think I had one rhyme about I think it was something like, I said, you don't know me, I'm the cat with the killer rhyme. Call me Mac 10 because I only Mac dimes.
Oh, shit.
I was pocket full of lime.
Boss.
Pocket full of lime. In the BMW pushing the X5. The windows is tinted, but you still see the ice shine. That's what I remember I had.
You had no ice.
I had ice in my drink at the dining hall. Because I was broke.
No doubt.
That's all I had back then. But anyway, this is AppBot now. It's called AutoRap. And you speak to it, and it apparently just it makes a rap for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we'd test it out and put one on wax for the listeners.
Oh, shit. Vlad, so, AutoRhyme.
I know. So actually, Ali, you got this. You want to put some lyrics on here? Because you
nope.
Did. Okay.
I mean, can you have to say a rhyme, or you could just say whatever?
Say whatever you want.
I mean,
but I feel like you got more experience than I do with these bars.
Yeah, you put some in, I put some in.
All right, so it's called AutoRap, y'all. And basically, you pick a beat. So like right now, they got Wiz Khalifa, We Them Boys, Lil Wayne, She Will.
Let's go with We Them Boys.
We Them Boys, okay.
We Them Boys in the conversation.
We Them Boys, I'm going to select it. So then what it does, it starts preparing your beat, right? And then you just basically talk to it. So right now it's coming up. I'm going to tap to record. What's up, y'all? In the conversation, in the studio with your main man, Ali Muhammad.
He gonna pass the mic. He passed the mic to me, and we get busy with the in the conversation family. And let's see what happens.
La Familia's here. Your man Chris is in the building. You know what it is, what it isn't, what it's not, what it's gonna be, where we at.
Vlad really trying to rap.
Trying to rap, battle, hit
I thought
him
you
with
said
him.
Just talk.
I'm just talking, but I think it missed some of the recording because I had a prompt for my password. So I'm just gonna talk for a little bit, see what's what. I'm gonna stop it now, right? So I'm gonna press stop on this recorder. And then now...
Let's see what this bullshit is talking about. Oh, shit. That's our bar?
What's up, y'all? In the conversation in the studio with your main man, Ali Muhammad, trying to rap battle, hitting with it. I'm just talking, but I think I missed some of the recording because I had a problem with my password. I'm just going to talk a little bit, see what's going on. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to press stop, and then that.
They didn't even get me.
They didn't get you at all.
Ali Muhammad, trying to rap battle, hitting with it. I'm just talking, but I think I missed some of the recording because I had a problem with my password.
I do mine live. Yeah, disco day, 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 day.
But basically, it's kind of crazy because they actually they have a whole community on there. So mm-hmm. if you create an account with this app, mm-hmm. you upload your song, And cats could either like your beat or they could battle you right on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can go back and forth in a
and they gonna make your own rap like that?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. So
how you battle in the machine making your rap?
So basically what happens is that you hold on, sorry, this thing is
that shit rapping too fast for that beat. They supposed to lay back on it.
Basically what happens is like it's kind of a social network.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Auto Rap. So they have a whole social network built around it. Say if you create an account, mm-hmm. you put a profile up and you put your tracks on there. And someone could like your joint, share it with people, put it on your input or whatever, but they can also battle. It has a button called battle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back and forth with somebody.
Nah.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
It's that internet shit.
Cats is trying to find a way to get that money.
What money? The app people?
The app people, basically.
Exploit y'all love for the culture.
Yeah, man. They're robbing the culture blind. They're robbing the culture blind right now. So, yeah, I got Spotify, I told you, so I'm getting all these rap songs, but I'm going to try iTunes Music next. I got to try Tidal. I know we talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you ain't going to try no Tidal.
I got to try Tidal.
You're going to go with the, you know what I'm saying, status quo.
Ali, it seems...
With what the reviewers say.
No, I got to try
popular
Tidal.
Popular media.
I got to try Tidal. But Ali, it looks as
Who
though...
Who owns Spotify?
I think a British company.
You know what I'm saying?
I think they're foreign. I think they're foreign.
Foreign.
But, I was gonna tell you, dude. It seems like I may be going to Dominican Republic pretty soon.
For life?
Nah, go see my grandma for life.
I mean, you said that I might be moving to the DR.
Nah, I may go see my grandmother out there. It's been a while, dog, since I've been to DR, and I'm going to talk to you actually because my mother's gonna take me. The plan is we go down to DR to see my grandmother. Right? My grandmother, she's not doing too well.
Mm-hmm.
She had a little stroke, and memory's not that great anymore. But the funny thing is, though, like her memory's not that great. But when I talk to her. She says La Bollita, which was her nickname for me growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where you get emotional on the phone with her.
Right.
So I'm going to go see her. But then my mother's like, hey, listen, we'll go back to my hometown, and I'll show you around. I was like, I got to talk to Ali because I'm going to bring my camera out. I'm going to bring my camera and do some filmmaking while I'm out there. Any advice for that? Like, when I'm out? I mean, just film everything? Or, like, do I just kind of, like, how do I get the most out
of? Film the mistreatment of the Haitian people in the DR. That's what you film. I'm saying.
Yeah. My mother's talking about her. Yeah, I mean, it's bad out there. It is bad out there right now.
Nah, man, you shoot what you see, man. You can't make nothing up.
Because I picture, like, my mother's going to be telling me about her story.
Uh-huh.
And I'm figuring out to get her on camera, like, in front of the stuff while we're talking.
You should interview her first, get the story of the place, and then shoot the stuff she talks about. And then as you're there, you get what she's saying about the place where you shoot.
Talk to her first. Say, Mom, tell me about what's going on here.
Yeah, just ask her about all the places where she want to take you and all that kind of stuff. What was important to her? She'll tell you the story. Like, you know, Blase skipping the third. And I used to be over here. And when I grew up, we were in a town called such and such. So you have all that. Because when you're there, she's not going to be that cognizant to give you this fundamental stuff that you need. She gonna give you what she see right there in front of her face. Like, oh my God, yes, I was da 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 da. You already had the fundamentals already played out. So when you put it together, you could build a story around the fundamentals and then add the hot sauce with the stuff that you get.
Physical locations when
while
we get there.
Yeah.
I would never think to do that.
So I do this shit every day.
That's why I thought to ask.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be exciting. I think my brother's coming with me, so we're gonna be out there. We're trying to figure out the dates and all that. But
what town is she from?
My mother's from a small town called Dajabón.
Where is that?
Which is literally on the northern side of the island, just close to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a river. It borders Haiti and Dominican Republic. It's called the Rio de Masacre.
So it's probably bad over there.
Yeah, it's poor.
Now I'm talking about bad with mess with the Haitians.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that it's right on the border.
Mm-hmm.
So. My mother told me that this has been going on for years.
No doubt.
It's more elevated now, but this has been going on for years. In fact, you know, there was a dictator named Trujillo for a long time on the island, and he would literally, from what I understand, he would ask the Haitians to say a word in Spanish called perejil. Haitians, because of their accent, had a tough time saying that word. So he would ask them to say it. If they couldn't pronounce it, he would, you know, imprison
them.
Yeah,
any of those Spanish colonies... Now, Spanish colonialism was real brutal, so, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot going on that happens with them Spanish colonies.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of internalized racism.
Because, I mean, shit, with the Spanish colonists, they was, you if you wasn't, you know what I'm saying, they killing all that shit, you know what I'm saying? All your history, all they making sure that shit is eradicated.
Everything.
You know, because, you know, the dark-skinned people had their foot on their throat over there in Spain for a while. Of course. They had a, you know, they had some get back that we still see the repercussions on. Yeah, they had some get back in their heart.
And it's pretty confusing when you think about it because the island is so mixed. You know what I'm saying? It's a mixed, you know, you got the slaves, you got the natives that were there. You have the white Spaniards that came down. The French came in. They're like, it's almost like who's not of color. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'll be down there.
Mm-hmm. I won't.
I'll be down there.
No doubt.
We're trying to figure it out now. Trying to figure out the flight situation and all that.
Yeah, get the story, man.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk to her first. I think that's a good idea. I'll sit her down first in the house. I'll get the story from her. And then I'll have it taken to the sites.
Then you have a guide of what it is, what it's not. Then you can go see some of it. Then you learn other things along the way. But you won't be under pressure.
It's my own personal records, too. Just my own archives. It's good to have mom on wax.
What about dad?
My father...
You know what to do with him. You know what it is. You know what I just got to put him... Set that mic up right in the bathroom.
Let him go off.
You know what I'm saying?
Blah, man, cut!
Blah!
Blah!
Hold
2, 3, 4, 5.
You know what I'm saying? You run it down.
Put it inside.
That's all you got to do.
My father's a trip dog. He loves JCPenney.
Actually, I was in the store the other day, and you got that piece on the swipe, the card.
Yeah.
And it was. I don't know if he was Dominican, but he was, you know, of Latino descent. He was in front of me in line at the grocery store.
I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, my goodness. He didn't know what to do with his fucking card. He just up there, yeah, I got the card. I'm like, shit, this is Vlad's fucking father.
It's real life, man.
In Brooklyn.
It's real life,
Ali. He had the card. He was happy. He still had it in the, you know how it comes in the little sleeve.
Yeah.
He still had it in the sleeve. And he, you know what I'm saying? It was like a TD Bank joint. And I'm like, man, if you don't hurry the fuck up. Then he did it. And it was just like your joke, dog. He did it. He got all this shit paid for. And then it was time for him to move on. He's still standing at where you bag your bags and shit. He's smiling like a motherfucker.
Happy, dog.
Looking at the cashier like, I did it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, if you don't get your monkey ass out the goddamn way so I can get to this. I'm buying stuff for
I'm so happy you saw that, man.
You know what I'm saying? I got a block party going on. I'm trying to get all the rest of the stuff. I'm trying
supplies.
To get. I got DJ Clean over there. I told him. You know how somebody call, hey, man, I'm in front of your crib, man, where I plug in. I was like, hold up. I'm 10 minutes away.
And you got my dad in line.
Your dad is 10 minutes just fucking around with the card.
So, I'm happy you saw that because a lot of guys see that joke and then you see it, you're like, that's my dad.
Yeah, I saw your pops in Brooklyn fucking around with his TD Bank card.
Long story short, listeners, I do a joke about my father getting his debit card, and it's just like it was a celebratory thing for him. You know, he was so excited to get a Capital One card. He goes to the supermarket, happy as hell, and Ali just saw something similar in his journeys.
That was Sunday. I was getting block party supplies. We had a block party this weekend on my block.
How'd it go?
It was dope.
You set it up, or was it?
No, it's, you know, Brooklyn, everybody have block parties. Every block in Bed-Stuy has a block party at some point in the summer. So Sunday was, Sunday was our block party. And I don't usually, you know, like I said earlier this year, that I was going to be all about the celebration. You know what I'm saying? All about owning the summer. Being in celebrating the present. You know what I'm saying? So usually we had a block party, you know what I'm saying? I give my little money to the block association, and then they go buy all the stuff. And then you just come and, you know, you get make your food at, you know, everybody got food, so you just go up and down the block. I was just, you know, I was a participant, but wasn't dwelling in the celebration of it. So this time, I'm like, man, fuck that shit. I'm going in. I'm going to make sure my presence is felt. You know what I'm saying? Make sure I do my contribution. So I went in, you know what I'm saying, bought a bunch of supplies, you know, bunch of beer, you know what I'm saying. I know my neighbor. I know my neighbor Lloyd. He liked the Negro Modelos, so I bought a case of that. Then I know on the other end of the block, they like the Corona, so I bought a case of Coronas. Then I bought, you know what I'm saying, a couple other cases of some other shit. You know what I'm saying? A bunch of, you know, kids, juices and stuff. And, you know, everywhere where... Like, my next-door neighbors, I knew they don't drink, so I dropped all the kids' juices at their crib. dropped all, you know, Coronas over here, chips over there, took the burgers, or, you know what I mean? Just spread it, you know what I'm saying? Spread it out through the block, and so, you know.
You brought some value this year.
Brought value, but, you know, so I just wanted to contribute to the fun of the atmosphere, just make sure that everybody was going to have a good time, you know what I'm saying? We weren't going to run out of supplies.
You know How was DJ Clean? He killed it?
Yeah, DJ Clean killed it. I forced him to do a funk set, and that shit was dope.
He killed it.
He played Thighs. I told him, you know what I'm saying?
Thighs are hot?
Thighs are like, you got to start it off with more bounce to the ounce, Thighs High. Then after Thighs High, where I told him to go. I mean,
it was all clean?
They didn't curse in funk music. They just talked about sexual things, just like we discussed earlier. They wasn't, oh, bitch, this, something. Nah, but, you know. I want to grip the hips and move. Doom, doom. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was good. It was good. Then I thought, damn, maybe I should do a funk party.
Got you thinking.
That's just thoughts.
Future plans for Ali Muhammad. Just thoughts.
Maybe we should do a big funk event in Brooklyn. West Coast, Brooklyn style.
And that's kind of the thing now. They have a lot of these theme parties, right? Like you were telling me, like, the Grits thing and the...
Right.
Funk party may be up your alley, dog.
I got to test the waters. I'm going to play some funk at a couple more occasions and see how I feel, you know.
Do a little poll.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Do a poll, you know what I'm saying?
I'll be there.
All right, well,
I'll be asking questions about what these lyrics are saying.
If you'll be there, then maybe other people will come.
Although, I'll bring them.
Conversation. Will y'all come to a funk party?
In the conversation?
In Brooklyn.
Thighs High.
You know what I'm saying? It's Parliament. You know what I'm saying?
Alisa, where you at this week, man?
This week? I'm prepping for an ad that we're shooting next week. So,
in the city?
Actually, the location is in Rockland County. It's Rockland County, but it's going to be an ad that's like a national ad. It's my first national ad.
Nice.
So, first one that I'm directing, so you know what I'm saying.
Can you say who the client is or no?
It's a company called Robin Wilson Home. They have bedding stuff that's in Bed Bath and Beyond, and a few other locations. But you know what I'm saying, it's pretty interesting right now because I did all her like web stuff. So now it's time she's going to run a national ad. So
1 day shoot, 2 day shoot. What you looking at?
One day shoot. You know what I'm saying. But the whole crew.
Everything is casted.
We got like three actors, one mother, two kids, something like that. But I'm fresh off of it's not a national ad, but I'm fresh off another big production. So it's like, you know what I'm saying, it's been a good little momentum.
A little run.
Yeah. So
it's not gonna be a dry fourth quarter.
It ain't been dry in a minute, but I'm just saying it's like the type of work, you know, sometimes you ask for a different kind of work to guide you in a different direction, and it start coming, and then, you know, you start seeing it, you start, you know what I'm saying, then you let you know that your thoughts are things and they work, you know what I mean? So once you visualize where you want to go and then you start seeing it come together, you realize that anything's possible. So
if at any point in this commercial they need a Latino guy to move one of the beds,
Latino guys,
feel free to.
You're not a mother.
Call a phone.
Don't look like you making up beds.
You need a gamma over here? You know, give me a call.
No doubt.
Thanks a lot, guys. I will be this week. I'm in the city locally this week. I'm at the Standing Room on Friday and Saturday in Long Island City. And then I am at the Stand on Sunday, I believe, once again. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Straight out the conversation.